For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Governor Ned Lamont says the state has changed to an exclusively age-based vaccine rollout plan. And that means that essential workers and those with comorbidities are no longer necessarily next in line. To talk about the what's and the whys behind this move is Greg Gonsalves, professor of epidemiology at Yale University School of Public Health. Professor, does this move make sense to you? Purely from a public health perspective, is it the right thing to do?
So, look, it seems like the governor wants to try to simplify the distribution of vaccines in the state. What we need to do is to be able to make sure that when we simplify, we don't leave people behind, right? The virus doesn't necessarily strike everybody in age classes with the same ferocity, and we need to balance a sort of strict age-based rollout with some ability to address the disparities that we already have in the epidemic in our state.
Was simplifying the process in this way the key thing that needed to be done to ensure that we get the best outcome?
No, because you need to build systems to ensure that people get access to the vaccine, even if you're trying to sort of cut down the number of categories you're offering in it. Even if you're simplifying the sort of age-based rubric for delivery of the vaccines, it doesn't mean that the vaccines are going to get to everybody in those age classes in an equal way, right? We already know that people in the classes 75 and above and others, we already had racial disparities and other kinds of disparities in access to the vaccines over the past few weeks in our state. So it's not good enough. It may be helpful simplifying what institutions and public health departments have to do across the state, but it's not enough to ensure that we have an equitable rollout of vaccines.
Well, so if I may paraphrase what I think I hear you saying, it sounds like you're saying that this doesn't necessarily make the vaccine rollout process more equitable. Does it make it less equitable in your estimation?
So look, the risk of death for somebody who is African American and between 55 and 65 may be higher than somebody who's over 65, for instance, right? And so in that way, it doesn't solve some of the issues that we need to discuss. The main thing we need to do is, in the context of the new rubric of vaccine distribution, figure out who is and who isn't getting access to the vaccines in those age classes. And it's pretty clear that you could probably take the map of health disparities in the state and overlay it on the plans for vaccine distribution. So the state, and I hope it's doing this, is making a concerted effort to make sure that the communities that are always last in line for access to services are going to get equal access to these vaccines no matter what age they are.
Is the assumption that people of color aren't getting vaccinated due to mistrust, is that, in your estimation, anecdotal, or is it based on any sort of data?
So the point is that you can find vaccine hesitancy across the United States, but most people want to get a vaccine. The point is we have to develop systems of care and delivery processes that make the effort to go out into communities, which starts with education, but it goes through setting up vaccine sites in places where people don't have to drive to get them, and which we go to the people who need the vaccines the most. And we can do that by thinking about the zip codes and the social vulnerability of different census tracts in the state and target our resources in that way. Yes, but, you know, the governor's made his decision about age-based classifications, but, you know, we need to make sure that everybody needs to get access to the vaccines equally. Right now, you know, if you have access to resources, you're computer literate, you have some savvy in working your way through the system to signing up for vaccines, you're going to be first in line no matter what age class you're in, right? You know, as we move through the age classes that the governor has announced, we're going to have to make sure that everybody who's in those age classes gets access to the vaccine. And it's not just about battling hesitancy. It's making sure that we have systems of delivery that reach out to the communities who need the vaccines the most.
Is vaccinating for efficiency a quicker way to get to herd immunity, that so-called herd immunity, than vaccinating with an eye on equity in higher-risk communities?
I don't think it's so. If we want to, maximize the effectiveness of vaccines, we have to do two things well. We have to get things out there quickly, but we also have to have broad coverage. Right? It's not either or. The point is that if you leave pockets of our state lingering with more unvaccinated people, it's not helping the state as a whole. So we have to balance speed and breadth of coverage. And what I'm saying to you is that the risk right now in saying that all we need is to do this as quickly as possible misses the point that we need to do it as broadly as possible as well.
You know, at his COVID press briefing, Governor Lamont said that people 55 and older can get vaccinated starting March 1st, as well as anyone who works in childcare or in schools. Now, how should grocery store workers, bus drivers, janitors, all folks that the advisory committee initially recommended should be next in this process, how should they feel about this?
Well, this is the point. You know, there's age-based vulnerability to COVID mortality, right? That's why we started vaccinating the elderly first. But there's certain professions, and it's not just childcare and education. My parents were teachers that are forward-facing and need to be vaccinated. It's the grocery store workers. It's the bus drivers. It's all the people who made our lives possible over the past year who put themselves in harm's way because they were doing their jobs, and they made us able to stay, those of us be able to stay at home to shelter in place, they need access to the vaccines as well. And this is, I think you're hitting upon the problem here. You know, if it's just age-based, it no longer makes any sort of distinction about levels of risk. And it's the idea that we'll get to herd immunity quickly enough that we didn't have to bother about it, and that equity is sort of an afterthought, that we'll get it eventually. The point is, when you say we'll get it eventually, it means you're leaving people behind. And so as we see deaths plummeting in certain communities, we're not going to see deaths plummeting in others.
So as I've thought about why they have abandoned, apparently, this idea that the grocery store workers and other essential employees should get it next, the one thing I ponder is whether or not this has to do with how much political pressure from the community, pressure in the media, there is to get schools open. And is that why there's been a sort of a carve-out made for people who work in childcare and schools as opposed to other essential workers? What do you say?
So the point is, we need to get our schools opened, and we can do it without vaccine. You know, the CDC has said even in the absence of vaccination, we can probably find ways to open our schools safely, right? Yes, I consider teachers essential workers, but I also consider grocery store people, clerks and grocery store cashiers, essential workers. And so the point is, we've moved to an age-based classification because they think it's the easiest thing to do, not to start saying, like, okay, did you work in a grocery store? Are you a teacher? Are you a fireman? Are you a policeman? Are you a, you know, are you a nursing home employee? All of this stuff, you know, they think it's too complicated for them to get a handle on. The point is that they're making assumptions that they're going to be able to deal with all these sort of inequities that an age-based alone classification sets up. And I think they're asking to be held accountable. And they should be held accountable. As we move ahead, you know, in a few weeks, you know, a large chunk of the state will be eligible for the vaccines by age, right? So think of the crush of people coming forward for a vaccine. And when it starts to become a first come first served situation, because we're now in April or in May, when, you know, we have almost all of the age classes available to get vaccines, we're going to still have this two tiers of access. Because we've already seen it in the state, right? We know that the health disparities in my city of New Haven or across the state have been pretty stark, you know, way before COVID even hit. And so we're just going to recapitulate them unless we take a serious look at driving resources into the communities that otherwise would be left behind.
Well, for those communities, here's a thought. Should we just take the age threshold away for people in underserved communities, people who aren't getting the vaccine, people of color, since comparatively fewer of them are getting the vaccine?
The governor has already announced this age-based classification. And so work, you know, saying that we're going to sort of reverse course and now think of a, you know, a third rubric for vaccinating people is probably a little too much to bear. But the state, in its current guidelines, can say to itself, you know, we're going to do this rollout by age, but where are we going to put our resources, right? Where are we going to put an extra vaccination clinic? You know, where are we going to extend vaccination clinic hours? Where are we going to do public education? And in what languages are we going to do public education? So there's ways to deal with what the governor is suggested. But if you want to be sure that you're not going to leave people behind by this, you're going to have to make extra effort to ensure that the places that have always been left behind in the state aren't going to get left behind now.
The governor made a statement at his presser saying that it's too complicated to figure out who should be in that essential workers group. I took that as one of the explanations as to why they were getting rid of that and just going straight to an age-based system. Why do you think he says it's too complicated? I mean, if you work in a grocery store, you work in a grocery store, right?
Well, look, you know, this, it's not only Governor Lamont who said this. A lot of states are pushing for an age-based classification for delivering the vaccines. But when ACIP, the advisory committee at the CDC, started issuing guidelines, it said, look, there are age-based classifications that are pretty good at risk, but there's a whole other set of considerations around essential workers, about other kinds of forms of risk that are built on sort of historical inequities and access to healthcare that we have to address. And so basically, the governor's basically, unless the governor is saying it's complicated, we've moved to an age-based distribution system, and we're going to add all these resources into communities that are liable to be left behind, then it's not good enough, right? Mm-hmm. It may be simpler, and you may get, you know, faster or cruel, but it's going to put people with privilege to the head of the line, because they'll know how to work the system better. They'll be closer to where vaccination sites are. They'll have access to transportation. So, sure, go ahead with your age-based metric for delivering vaccines. Risk is heavily dependent on age, but it's not solely dependent on age. And we already know that we tend to leave people behind in the state depending on where they live, right? And so the governor can put measures into place by putting money on the table, again, where they distribute vaccines, at what times they distribute vaccines, in what kind of education goes out, and what kind of languages, and what kind of groups they reach out to get people into vaccination. So it's not good enough to just say we've changed the list of who's getting access to vaccines week by week over the next several months. He's going to need to put resources on the table to make sure that we don't recapitulate what we've done already, which is to really push communities of color to the back of the line in terms of getting access to vaccines.
Well, here's a slight counterpoint to pretty much all we've spoke about so far. Department of Public Health Commissioner Deidre Gifford, she says that those with chronic conditions tend to be older. So if she's right about that statistically, I mean, is any fear about going to an age-based system that it might not effectively single out, you know, people who are more in need because of underlying conditions? Is that much to do about nothing if older people tend to have underlying chronic conditions anyway?
Well, you know, if we start talking about chronic conditions, almost half of Americans have some sort of chronic condition. The point is that if you look at life expectancy in the U.S., people in certain communities are dying at younger ages because of this very same chronic condition. So yes, older people in general may have more chronic conditions, but the age distribution of those chronic conditions among our senior citizens is not exactly alike. And so, you know, they should just stop with the sophistry and say, look, we're going to do an age-based rollout, but we're going to put resources on the table to make sure that we don't leave communities behind in this state that have been historically left behind in healthcare in the state of Connecticut.
Last question, just in general. I mean, we've come to this point. We're almost at a year since we all first became aware that this pandemic was an issue. Now we've got new variants, the South African variant, and so on and so forth. How are we doing? Are we okay? Are we where you hope we would be?
Well, we've had 500,000 Americans dead, right? we've had 500,000 deaths in the United States. We have had the worst epidemic on the planet, and people will parse the figures in many different ways, but I think we have a fifth of the world's fatalities from COVID-19. The Lancet Commission on Health and the U.S. over the past 4 years suggested that 40% of what we've seen could have been avoided with better policies. Are things getting better? Yeah, we're seeing the vaccine roll out faster than we thought it was possible. We're seeing, numbers go down over the past few weeks in dramatic ways. But there's all these challenges lingering in front of us. It's the variants. It's about whether we're going to be able to provide vaccination for everybody in this country who needs it. And think about the global situation. There's no real preparation to vaccinate people around the world. And, viruses don't really care about borders. That should have been the lesson of COVID from a year ago. The viruses don't care about borders. If we can't figure out a way to sort of vaccinate the world over time, we're just leaving the rest of the world as a reservoir for new variants of SARS-CoV-2 that, will make their way back to the U.S. at some point. And maybe we'll be lucky and they won't be resistant to current vaccine candidates. But, COVID's going to be around for a while. We're going to have a different relationship to it in 2021 and 2022 than we did in 2020, because there are going to be many more people vaccinated. But, it's not going to be like we're turning off a light switch. We're going to have to figure out a way to accommodate ways to keep our community safe over the long run from the after effects of what we've seen.
Greg Consalves, professor of epidemiology at Yale University School of Public Health. Thank you so much for the time.
Anytime.